Welcome. There's my pal, Christy. Hi, darling. How are you? Good to see you, love. Hey, Thank Joe. You, good to see you, Joe. And my other pal, Paul Dolan. Hey, mister. How you doing, honey? Paul, you're
phenomenal.
Class. My God.
I've been teaching it all morning with my coaching clients, so it's awesome.
Good. And then I see Marilee there and Maria. Hey, Maria, it's good to see you. And Sean, Allison, Ed, my goodness. Ella, my pal Ella up in Seattle, Washington. So thanks for being here, everybody. We appreciate it. We're going to give everyone just a moment or two to get signed on. Great class today. It's kind of like we're taking some of the things that we did at the very beginning of the year and doing a check-in to see where we are and what we need to do to meet the goals that we set for ourselves at the beginning of the year. And if we're not where we want to be, what do we need to do to get there? So I just wanted to give everyone a few seconds to get signed on here so that nobody misses some of the yummy stuff that we've got going today. So was anyone on? Let's do that. We'll take a little survey. Was anybody, and you can use the chat button that's below us to kind of answer here. Was anyone on the class that Carl and I did at the very beginning of the year of setting your business plan for the year? So is there anyone here today that was on that class? Raise your hand or put yourself, you know, say something in the chat or whatever it is so we can see if there's anyone here who was there. We got crickets so far. All right. Ah, yeah, well, we got one, Paul, of course. So, all right, let's jump right in today. So I'm going to go ahead and share my screen, guys. So what we're going to be talking about today is how do we make sure that we reach your goals? And first I want to introduce someone to you. So I realized that with the way that we're growing and bringing on coaches and stuff like that, that I needed some help. And so I have hired a unicorn who has been in the coaching industry for well over 20 years. She's been in a couple different industries, but she really knows coaching. She really knows sales, and she really knows how to get results from people. So I wanted to introduce the newest member of our staff, Jules. We're going to go by Jules. Her name is Julie, but we've got two Julies in the office. So she gets to be Jules. So Jules Burnell, and she's going to be helping me with today's class and just kind of giving us some of her wisdom as well, some of the things that she's learned along the way. And she's developed a couple of coaching programs as well. And so really knowledgeable. So if everyone will just give her a warm welcome and round of applause and everything like that. But so thanks for being here, everybody. And thanks, Jules, for joining us.
Thank you.
Oh, you even got a little heart there from Christy.
I see that. Thanks, Christy.
So, all right, guys. So let's get started today. So what I thought we would do first, we're going to go through the business plan, but it looks like a majority of you have not been through that class. So I want to do kind of a precursor to that. And let me do share. There we go. So I don't know if this looks familiar to any of you guys, but this is called the 80-20. So it's easier to make your business plan and say, I want to reach these goals. And if I reach these goals, life is good. And to me, the only way to be able to set those goals for yourself is to do this first. So this is what we call the 80-20, all right? It's a form that's up on our website. We're also going to post it with today's class as well. We've got a whole entire class that's devoted to this, so you can go and find it on our website and watch it. Teresa, you might even want to like grab that class and put the link up in the chat piece of it. But let's really quickly go through it because I want to show you what we're talking about. So for this, you only need four pieces of information. Everyone's got these information for yourself. It's real easy. What I want you to do is say how many loans a month you're closing. And you can do this in two different ways. One, you can do it currently, right now. Hey, what am I closing right now? Or two, what would I like to be closing? Either one works, okay? But let's say right this moment in time, you're closing 10 loans a month, which would mean you're closing 120 a year. And let's say your average loan amount is about 250,000. I know some of you are going to be lower, some of you are going to be higher, but we're going to use 250,000 as our benchmark here. So average loan amount, that, so number one, you need how many loans you close a month. Number two, what's your average loan size? Number three, what's your comp plan is? Again, everyone's is different. So I just did kind of an average of what I hear from people between 100, 125, 140, somewhere in there. But I did 125 as our comp plan. And then the last number is how many hours per week about you work. So those are the only four numbers that you need. And this form will auto-populate itself. Woohoo, magic. So let me explain to you what each thing means, and then we'll go from there. Okay, so it calculates out. So at 10 loans a month, that means you're doing 120 a year, 250,000. That means you're about doing about $2.5 million per month in production at 125 basis points would mean that you're earning $31,000 a month or $375,000 a year. Not too shabby, is it? And that averages out to about $3,100 per loan. If you're working 50 hours a week, that means 50 times 2,080, which is, 50 hours a week times 52 weeks, whatever that comes out to be. If you divided all that up and just did a straight division, your hourly rate would be $150 an hour. Still not too shabby, is it? However, if we apply the 80-20 principle, that we know that 20% of the activities that you do, the sales activities you do, the money-making activity, so 20% of your effort is responsible for 80% of your results. And this 20%, we have a whole class on the 80-20 principle as well. 20% of your headaches come from 80% of your people, or 80% of your headaches come from 20% of your people. 80% of your joy comes from 20% of your people. So it's figuring out this good 80-20 piece of it, because when it's applied right, it really will propel your business forward. So if we take that 80-20 principle and we apply it to what you're doing right now, which is this first section. So 20% of your time, so you're working 50 hours a week, so 20% of that would be 10 hours, produces 80% of your income. So 80% of $31,000 a month is $25,000 a month. So out of 10 hours a week that you work, it produces $25,000 in revenue when you're in focused money-making activities. That means when you're in focused money-making activity time, your time is worth $625 an hour, not this measly old $150 an hour. It's $625 an hour. So the smart ass question would be, would you rather be making $150 an hour or $625 an hour? And then we take that leftover 80%. So out of the 50 hours, 10 of it is in money-making time, and about 40 hours is going to be in doing grunt work, the paperwork, the chasing the conditions, the training of our team, the blah, 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 all of that stuff that's not focused money-making activity that takes up the rest of the day. That's 40 hours. You're only making $40 an hour, guys, $40 an hour versus $625 an hour. So this down here is the cost of inaction. So let's talk about that. If you can have the ability to make $625 an hour, every moment that you're not doing that, if you're doing this hour instead, you subtract the two, 625 minus 39 is $586. It is costing you $586 per hour, not to do focused money-making activity. And if we multiply that out, it is costing you $1 million a year not to do focused money-making activities and hire people to do the other stuff. Does that make sense to everyone? And then what we can do is we can just multiply it out a couple times. So like this is one set right here is one set of money making activities. If you could get it, so you could do two sets of that. So instead of 50 hours, I mean, at a 10 hours a week, we doubled that and we did 20 hours a week. You just, without adding any time to your plate, it's the same 50 hours. We're just allocating it differently. Instead of making $25,000 a month, you're making $50,000 a month now from that activity, and a little bit less because you're doing less of this activity here. But you just gave yourself a humongous raise to $55,000 a month from $31,000 a month with no extra time in there, guys. And if we can multiply it out a third time right here and do a third set of that, now we're at $78,000 a month versus $31,000 a month. So you can see that every time you get to add a little bit more sales activities to your time, it makes your dollar per hour go up and your income rise dramatically. So I wanted to really focus in on this piece of it so that now when we move over into our business plan and we start really mapping out what do you need to be doing to live in 20% land versus 80% land, what does that look like? And what do we need to do to make that happen? So Jules, anything you wanted to add to that?
I'm trying to just stay muted just in case I cough or do anything rude to interrupt you. You nailed this really well. And I think that when those of you that are really working this can hone in and decipher what the difference is on focusing on being productive instead of busy, it's going to be a game changer. And that's where a lot of people have a hard time is, are you doing the producing activities, or are you in the whirlwind where you can't quite get out of it in order to meet your goals? So, you know, tapping into that, which clearly we're going to discuss, is just going to be a game changer for all of you if you're doing the work.
Well, Paul, as one of my coaches and as a producer as well, I know that you have really worked the last several years dialing in on this so that you truly do live in your 20% most of the time. So what was it like to transition and to get yourself out of the mundane 80% over into that 20%? What did it take to make that happen for you?
Do you still have that whip that you were using?
It's a hidden resource, but yes, I do. Okay.
Sorry. No, really though, it being someone that moved from being a complete ADD, woke up every morning and I went where the day took me, right? So a lot of us on this call probably are kind of wake up, check email, and the day takes them where the day wants to take them to go. And instead, now it started with an hour, right? It started with me taking an hour in my zone and then 2 hours. And then, gosh, look how much more I got done. And now, you know, my day is scheduled and I work by the calendar. It took intentionality, and it took saying, okay, I'm gonna really set aside that squirrel nature that I have that I was born with that got me in the mortgage business, and say, you know what? I can be so much more effective by just turning everything off on my computer. That was the first step for me, right? Turn the email off, turn everything off but my Thor's hammer list and my scripts, or everything off but my call the customer, you know, past database scripts and my list, and that's it.
So did you have someone help you with this? Because, you know, sometimes we need accountability to make this happen. So did you have someone help you and say, Paul, it's 9 a.m., go to your office, make your phone calls, and at 11 o'clock, you're allowed to come out. Did you have someone kind of helping you through that? Because like you said, it's our nature. So I don't want anyone to hear on here that the way that God built you is bad. It's just, we need to make adjustments to that. So if you know your nature is to be unfocused and out there doing things, who or what calendars, et cetera, do we need to bring alongside of us to help us not overcome that, but to use it to our advantage instead of a disadvantage.
So I actually, I had an assistant at the time that I said, your job is to stand in front of my desk until I do the work. Literally at that time in the office, it was your job is to walk in here and make sure I do it. Kind of like, you know, like RJ Baxter had his virtual assistant on the phone with him.
Yes.
And if RJ didn't make his phone calls, the VA was going to get fired. And I said that of my assistant. If you don't make me sit down and start my activities, then you don't have a job. That is your job. And then all the other stuff is your job, but that's your primary job. And then of course, you know, Andrea, of course, keeps me on the rails as best as she can too, but
that's his wife for anyone who doesn't.
Yeah, I'm sleeping with the boss, but
yeah.
you know, Andrea is so scheduled and structured, and it's tough for me. It's still tough even today, but I'm so much more effective.
And again, it goes back to that's your nature. So if anyone on here, so let's talk a little bit about the DISC profile and what that looks like for you guys. So most of the time, a true salesman, and I don't care what industry you're in, you can be in our industry as a salesperson, but any industry, car salesman, computer salesman, tennis shoe salesman, whatever, but true salesman, usually the DISC profile looks like a high D, high I, low S, low C. So that distracted nature, I hate to use the ADD word because I'm not a doctor, but two, it has a bad connotation to it. What makes you guys so effective is that low S. So that's what really helps with what you guys do is that lower S, because that makes you crave variety and not have to have things the same way all the time with that steadiness and security. It allows you to step out of your comfort zone. It allows you to like, hey, let me try this and not be afraid of it. And so don't poo-poo the nature that you were given that makes you an amazing salesman. We just have to harness it, right, Paul?
Absolutely.
Perfect. So Julie's typing some notes into our chat box as well about what are considered urgent activities and what are important activities. The problem is that urgent things need to get done, but typically the important things are what grow our business. And we always let the urgent things creep in instead of concentrating first on what's important for our business. And so part of what we need to talk about today too is learning how to harness the difference between them and making a time in your calendar. So Joe, I see you had your hand up for a question. Did you have something?
You know, I may be looking at it from too much of a microscopic level. I may need some further coaching on really understanding the 80-20 and how, because based on what Paul said too, there, you know, something comes up for me there is like, you can practice the 80-20 rule in any given hour. And so like from what Paul's telling me, like saying on Thor's hammer, for instance, I'm making the calls, and that's what I do best is having those conversations. But then I go to, okay, well, are they in my database? I got to put them in, do that. So Paul, my question is, do you just go through all the calls and then set aside or block some time to go through and update all those people that you talked to and all those contacts that you didn't make in your Thor's hammer spreadsheet? Or how do you do that? Do you do it as you go or you block time to do it later?
Well, I'm a talker typer. And so I talk and type. In my opinion, in our business to be, well, it's most effective if you can type as you're talking. So,
well, yeah, I've been successful and I haven't been a good talker and type.
I backed off of that, but it helps time-wise. It helps if you can do that. But, I don't, otherwise, yeah, you'd make your calls. I don't know where you're right. If you're writing notes, but
I would keep a yellow notebook by you. The thing is that put your hands up, the hardest part of what we do, guys, when we're making these phone calls is getting started. Because you have to kick little guy off your shoulder. because that anxiety, that call reluctance, that fear, that whatever starts popping up, the hardest part is picking up the phone and getting started. Okay. So once you get started, don't pull yourself out of that mode by, oh, I just had a great call. Let me go take 10 minutes and type up my notes. Yeah, that is creative avoidance. On to the next call, on to the next call, on to the next call. And just keep a notebook of everything and have it, put it in your schedule. Hey, I'm going to do an hour of calls and then 15 minutes of data input. An hour of call, 15 minutes of data input. Or I'm going to do my hour call or 2 hours of calls, and I'll keep notes in there, and I'm going to hand it to my assistant and have my assistant do it. Or I'm going to hire a $4 an hour VA, $5 an hour VA to sit on the call with me and take my notes for me. So there's a lot of ways that you can solve this. The thing is, once you get in the zone, stay in the zone for a certain amount of time. You can't go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You got to pick these chunks of time to make your sales activity happen. Otherwise, you make two calls and you're like, woohoo, done. Let me go do something else. And then you never get back into the zone. So you need to pick a certain amount of, I have to talk to 10 people a day. Would you rather spread that out throughout the day? And at the end of the day, it's like, shoot, I only got 7. Hey, that's good enough. Or would you rather get it over with? Let me get my 10 people talked to. And now the rest of my day, it could go to a hell in a handbasket, kids. And you've made your 10 sales calls. You're golden. Yes, Kevin Newton says, anything worth doing is worth doing badly. Yes. Great idea to have your VA write notes. I write notes. Good, Amber. Amber says she writes the notes and has her team come in and add them into her system. Yes, Ken, you're very funny. Ken McKee says that he doesn't know how to chew gum and pat your head and do all that kind of stuff at the same time. I get it. And that's also part of the loan officer nature. Again, not to be poo-pooed that, hey, it's a bad thing. It's a great thing. That's what makes you guys who you are and have the ability to sell. That's what makes you. So don't buy into the, hey, you're not good enough. Hey, there's something wrong with you. Hey, you should be able to. Don't shit on yourself. Embrace who you are and fill in the gaps with the help. You know, like Paul, having an assistant right there to hold your feet to the fire and listen to you and do those things makes all the difference in the world. So if you have any questions on this 80-20 form, we've got the whole 1 hour class that is devoted to nothing but this class and how to fill it out and how to do all those things. So I would highly recommend, Teresa did put the link for it in the chat box. So you can go and watch that. So now what we're gonna do is we're gonna jump over now into the, let me figure out how to do this here. There we go. Now we're going to jump into the business plan. Okay. Everyone should still be able to see my screen, and now it should be the business plan up. Yes? Perfect. Okay. So we did this class at the beginning of the year. Again, it's a full 1 hour class with myself and Carl helping you set your goals. So today's thing is to kind of take what we just went over, the 80-20, and figure out what do we need to do now. So if you've never done this, let's just do it for the rest of the year. So the full title of the class that we did at the beginning of the year is 21 is done. I bet a lot of people said hallelujah when 21 was over. 21's done, 22 is for you. This is your year, guys. I hear some people say, you know, it's been a rough start, it's been a whatever. I will tell you that I have some of my clients who are having their best month ever, despite inventory issues, despite appraisal gaps, despite rising interest rates, despite all margin compression, despite all of that kind of stuff. I still have people who are having amazing months and their best months ever. So to me, a lot of it has to do with what activities are you doing? And sometimes in a market like this, we need to increase that 20% of the time that we're spending. We do need to increase it to 40% of the time that we're doing. And so let's talk about filling this form out and what we need to do. And then we can interactively. So Paul, did you do this yourself for the beginning of the year, or you just were at the class?
I didn't use this exact form, but we went through it. I mean, Andrea and I do business planning every year. So I have this. I didn't fill out this exact form, but we did these absolute things in our business.
Okay, perfect. Mm-hmm. So the first thing you guys got, now that you know what you know, all right, so we've done the 80-20, and you can throw in numbers that, hey, right now I'm at 10 loans a month. Let me change that number to what would my income look like if I was doing 20 loans a month? And applying my 80-20 to it. And so now that you know what you're worth per hour and what's possible out there, now we can really plan on what your business should look like and the activities that you need to be doing. So let's talk about that first. So all we need to do is pick out five, not 50 guys. I think that's the biggest thing that I see people run into, and that's where ADD comes into place. And you know, it's like, oh my God, I'm overwhelmed, is you're trying to do too many things. So pick out five, not 5,000, five. What are five business goals that you want to accomplish by December 31st, 2022? What can you do? What needs to be done so that you accomplish these things, and they will help you live in that 20%? So here, I've got some examples over here to it. I color coded everything. So if it's blue over here. This light pinky color is light pink over here. Yellow down here. So it's kind of color coded for you guys when you do it. But let me see my glasses now. All right. So for your business goals, here's some examples, guys. You don't have to follow these exactly, but here's some ideas of what some top business goals could be for you. Hey, I need 15 more referral partners to help me get. So that could be a goal. By the end of this year, we've got 6 months to go. 7 months to go. In the next 7 months, I would like to bring on 15 referral partners. That could be a great end of the year goal. I need to hire somebody. So who is it? I might need to say I need to hire a loan partner, and I need to hire a processor or a DSP manager or an ops manager or whatever it is. So hiring could be one of your business goals that will help you be able to do your 20% all the time. So that's what we're trying to do, is you know what your 20% is. So let's figure that out first. Okay, so to figure out what your 20% is, if this law of the universe dropped down out of the sky and said you were only allowed to do one thing, and it would be responsible for bringing all of your business in, one thing. So some people might say, well, I got to be taking applications. Yeah, but those applications come from somewhere. So we got to go back to the source of the Nile of what is the one thing, one, if you were only allowed one thing, that would bring all your business in the door. So if you can figure that out, guys, that's the magic sauce. Okay. Now we know what your one thing is. Maybe you have two. Hey, I need to bring on more referral partners, and I need to market to my database. Those could be your two things. I need to market to my database, and I need to make sure I'm doing my just ask. Those could be your two things. But figuring out what your top 20% is. Now, what gets in the way? That's magic question number two. Hey, I know what I should be doing, but for some reason, I can't spend 40 hours a week doing that. I can't spend 30 hours or even 20 hours a week doing it. I'm lucky if I get two. All right. So what is standing in the way? That'll help you come up with your business goals of what you need to do, because really, guys, we're in the obstacle removing business. What is standing in your way of you being able to live fully in your 20%? So let's figure that out. So it could be, I don't have the help I need. That could be one of them. I don't have the help I need. I don't have enough business partners to do that. I don't live by my calendar, Paul, who does now. So I need to start living by my calendar. Maybe you need to start doing, you know, video stuff. That's one of your goals, is that, hey, I'd really love to get my branding out there. I'd love to get my name out there. Now, if you're not going to do the follow-up that comes with video, guys, it's a waste of time. So don't think creating videos is going to help you, you know, close 40 loans a month. You've got to do the activities. That's a branding thing, but there's no call to action with it that you can ask someone flat out, will you send me some business? Okay. You may want to be looking at social media. Maybe you're just becoming a branch manager, becoming a leader in your organization. Maybe one of your goals is, by the end of the year, I would love to take a couple leadership classes and become a better leader. Several people may not have a CRM that would really help you manage and keep track of all your people. So it's picking out what's preventing you from being able to live 100% fully engaged in your money-making activity, and figuring out, how do we solve that problem? Typically, about 90% of the time, it's, I don't have my systems and processes in place, or I don't have the help I need. That's what I find 99.99% of the time, is I don't have the help I need. So now I'm stuck chasing conditions, or I'm stuck taking the applications, or I'm stuck, you know, putting out fires, or I'm stuck, whatever it is. And then that doesn't allow you to do your money-making activities. So help and poor systems and processes, and CRM would fall up underneath that, are typically the two big ones that I see that prevent you from doing your top five. So get your top five business goals in place. And now I want you to do your top five personal goals. And here's some help with that. You know, maybe you want to lose some weight. Maybe you want to start working out every day and going to the gym, saving money. So we recommend that you save 25%. Yeah, that's a big number, kids. 25% of whatever your paycheck comes in after Uncle Sam takes his share and all that kind of stuff. Whatever's left, we recommend that you save 25% of that. Some people's like, there ain't no way I couldn't live on that. All right, well, let's start with 10%. But as you earn more money, you can put more money away. And your goal is to get to where you're saving 25% of your take-home pay. All right, so maybe that's one of your goals, is to start saving money. Maybe it's to take more time off. You might need some more time with your family. Uninterrupted vacation time with your family. Not just, hey, I'm going to take a vacation, but I'm going to work while I'm gone, and my family won't know I'm there, but I'm there. No, that's not a vacation, and it's no fun for your family either, okay? So maybe your goal is to take time off with a vacation. Maybe, you know, learning a foreign language, learning a new skill like water skiing or snow skiing or whatever it is, but you pick what your top five personal goals is. Then what you're going to do from there is take each one of these things one at a time. And what do I need to do? We don't have Q1 and Q2 left. We got Q3 and Q4 left. All right. So now I've got these five things that I want to accomplish. I want to hire a processor, and I need them right away. So that's going to go in Q1, right? So what do I need to do? What are my top activities for Q3 right here to get a processor hired? Well, I need to have an ad to place. I need a job description. I need a place to post it. I need a interview process that I can follow, and all of those things that go with it. So you map out, what do I need to do to accomplish that goal? Do I need to, like, let's say your thing was, hey, I want to finish my CRM by the end of the year. You're not going to do that in 1 month, guys. Paul can attest to that. Him and Andrea have been building Jungo out for 6 years now. And there's always something to do. So you're not going to do it in a 1 month time frame. So, hey, what are the two things that I need to do in Q3? And what are the two things I need to do in Q4? And what do I need to do to get started with that? Okay. So it's just taking things one at a time. Okay. I need to hire someone, and I'd like to bring on a couple more referral partners. Okay, so to hire someone, we already went through that list, to bring on a couple referral partners. You're not going to bring on 15 of them in that month. So if you need 15 by the end of the year, we got some work to do. You're going to bring 7 on in one quarter and 8 on in the other quarter. So in the quarter, there's 3 months. So that means that you've got to bring on two to three each month. Now, what do we need to make that happen? So to bring on two referral partners, you need to physically go on 10 to 15 coffee appointments. So if you need to bring on two over the next couple months, you need to go on 15 coffee appointments and follow up well. The magic is not in the coffee appointment, it's the follow up afterwards. Paul, how often do you guys follow up? I know that you've got a team now who do that, but do you guys have a system built out for the follow up, correct?
On a referral?
Yes, on a referral partner, when you have like a coffee, like yep. I know Angie is having her coffees. What's her follow-up look like when she's met with a real estate agent?
You know, it looks a lot like your 12-week follow-up sequence.
That's a miracle.
Right?
Yeah.
We made a couple minor tweaks to it because we didn't want to send this, but we sent that. So we replaced a couple things, and each of the loan officers I work with, we replace a couple things that make it more them. But everybody has to have their 12-week follow-up sequence, and it's all based on the spreadsheet that you've put together.
So we got a couple of those classes, guys. So one is called Focus 40. So you can watch that class. I also did a class, Teresa, like 4 months ago, 3 months ago with Miles Pitcher on how he follows up with real estate agents too. So there is a plethora of information for you guys to dig into to make this happen. The key is living by your calendar, like Paul said, and getting it booked on your calendar to make sure that you make time for the money-making activities. So the calendar is your best friend in the entire world. To me, it comes above anything. If you will honor your calendar, even if you've got call reluctance, if you will honor your calendar and put, I have to make phone calls on here and I will honor my calendar, and you have this person who stands over you and says, get your calls done. If it's on your calendar and you make yourself do it, you'll do it despite life going on around you. If you will honor your calendar, it can be your best friend in the whole wide world to help you get the results that you need to get. So that's kind of what you guys need to work on, is coming up with the goals that you want to come up with. Now, maybe since we're halfway through the year, maybe you don't have 5 things you want to do. Hey, if I could accomplish these 3 things by the end of the year, pare it down a little bit, guys, because this was a 1-year plan and we've only got 7 months left. So maybe put 3 things on here or 4 things. This is Burger King, baby. Have it your way. This is to help you get the results that you want to get. And I'm telling you, if you will fill this out, and you will stick to it and you'll build the plan out. The biggest thing that I see that happens with people is they have these grand ideas, but nothing ever happens after the grand idea because 1, they didn't make a plan. You need a step-by-step. What's my next step? What's my next 3 steps? Who's gonna help me with that? When is it due by? So you need to have concrete goals. You need to have concrete deadlines. And you need to know what results you're going to get when you do those 3 things. Hey, if I bring in 15 new qualified real estate partners by the end of this year, I'll be closing another 15 loans a month or 12 loans a month or 10 loans a month, depending upon what your definition of qualified is. But if I want to close 10 more loans a month, I just need to bring on 10 to 12 more real estate partners. What do I need to do to make that happen? If I did bring on 10 more loans a month, do I have the staff or do I have the capacity to close those 10 loans a month? Well, okay, so when I get to my 5 extra loans coming in a month, I need to have my eye out for a loan partner. So it's just kind of mapping it out, guys, for what needs to happen so that you reach these goals. But I can't emphasize enough on filling this out. Fill it out, fill it out. If you're a Freedom Club member, fill this out and go through it with your coach. They will help you get dialed in to what is my next step, my clear next step. It's not just, hey, I want to bring in 15 real estate agents. Okay, what are we going to do to make that happen? Do you have your list in place? Is it a qualified list? Who's going to make the calls? How many appointments a week are you planning on going to? What's the follow-up look like after that? So there's a lot of things that go into this. You can't just say, I want 15 partners and have it magically happen. So we've got all of this slide filled out. It's just taking each of the quarters and divvying it up. Hey, what do I need? What's my next step? What's my next step? When am I going to have that done by, et cetera? All right. Then on this side, it's, you know, if you want to compare the last 7 months from last year to what these last 7 months are going to be, you can do it that way, or you can do the whole year from last year against this year. So what units did you close in 2021? And how many do you want to close in 2022? What was your volume? What was your comp plan? So maybe right now, if you just got started, hey, maybe you're only at 60 basis points or 70 basis points, and you're expecting that, hey, once I get a little bit more experience in under my belt, I'm going to go to 100 basis points or 120. So you can, you know, your goal could be to up your comp plan just a little bit. What's your average loan amount? Again, that's a great way to get a raise. Hey, right now, my average loan size is $150,000. If I could just get it to 225, my God, without any extra work, I gave myself a raise. So there's different ways. That's another great class. Teresa, if you want to find that one, it's called 9 Ways to Get a Raise that Carl and I did a couple years ago. So 9 Ways to Get a Raise. And that's one of them. Raise your comp plan. Obviously, raise your units. Get more qualified real estate agents. Change your average loan amount. Some of y'all, I hate to say it, might have to move. Hey, I'm in a town that only closes 100 transactions for the whole year because it's this big. Well, that's okay. If that's where you want to raise your family, just realize you're going to have to grow your cup, get a bigger cup, as Carl would say, and go outside of that area. You're going to have to go into a more metropolitan area. So being able to realize how you can expand your market and grow really goes a long way as well. How many referral partners do you have right now? And that could be any kind of referral partners. Hey, I have 12 real estate agents and 2 financial planners and 2 builders. So how many referral partners do you have right now? And how many do you need to reach your goals? And then what's your staff look like? How many, what would your staff look like in 2021? What's it need to look like in 2022 for you to be able to reach your goals? Then just establishing some non-negotiables for you. So let's call in someone new. I'm always calling on Paul. Christy, you're right at the top there. Christy, for you, what is a non-negotiable in your schedule?
It has been since the beginning of the year is the Breakfast Club. So I'm on there at 6:30 a.m. other than last week because of graduation. But yeah, that's been a non-negotiable.
Okay.
It's been helpful.
Perfect. Anyone else got a non-negotiable that they will always do?
Our 8:30 team meeting with our whole team.
I love that one. Love that one. Yeah. Having the meetings with your team so that you, one of the biggest things that you can do is, you know, especially if you're going to be making phone calls, is to know exactly what's happening in your, you don't have to solve the problems. That's not the purpose of kind of like having this team meeting, is just so you're not caught unaware when you're making your phone calls. Hey, how's it going to Realtor Joe? Well, you son of a gun, oh my God. It's like, oops. So just knowing what's going on so that you can have intelligent conversations and being able to like make sure that you're staying on task. Albert says going to the gym is a non-negotiable for him. Yeah. So these non-negotiables can be personal or they can be business. So yeah, some people say, hey, I will. I had 2 people who maybe 2 years ago did a challenge where they shot a video every single day of the year, 365 videos they did. And that was their non-negotiable. I will shoot a video a day. And so it's up to you guys to make your non-negotiables. So Joe responded that doing the DSP is a non-negotiable in his schedule. So what I like to do, Joe, is when there's, because there's multiple aspects of the DSP, we've got 4 different days, theme days. We've got our realtor calls, we've got our just ask calls, we got our database calls, and we've got our pre-approved looking calls. So I like to rate them. So kind of like what Julie was talking about, urgent and important and stuff like that. So there is a hierarchy, guys, of where you're going to get the biggest bang for your buck. So I like to like rate my DSP. And it, everyone is different. So it's different for all of you guys. There's not a cookie cutter. So you have to decide this. If I have a client who has 3,000 people in their database, that call on Wednesdays is more important than the Monday call to a Thor's Hammer list. They might even not even need Thor's Hammer. Okay. If I've got someone who closes 50 loans a month, Just Ask Tuesday can be their bread and butter. Okay. If you're carrying 100 people who are out pre-approved looking, that call's really important, guys. So you have to determine for yourself out of these four different activities, which one's most important, and then go through them all. And now, just like we live in Florida and we lose power quite a bit because we get our little hurricanes and tornadoes and stuff like that in. And so a lot of people in Florida have a generator. And so I call what we do when we're in sales mode, we need a backup generator. There are times you're not going to be there. What if you get sick? What if you're going on vacation? What if something comes up? Who's your backup generator? Who's going to make these calls for you if you can't do it? So, hey, most of the time I can do my database calls. Oh, I'm going to be on vacation that day. Or most of the days I can call my own real estate agents, but I'm not going to be there that day. Who's going to, the option is not, well, I'll skip this week. The option is, it's better to have someone do it, excuse my French, half-assed, than not do it at all. Okay. So have someone do it for you. So have someone in the office, like, tag, you're it. You're it for this week. I'm out of the office. You need to make these calls. Make sure that you've gone over their scripts with them. Make sure you've done some role playing, et cetera, but have a backup generator. So rate your DSP 1 through 4. What's the most important? And then make sure that those don't get missed no matter what, because you've got a backup generator in place. So Scott said his is his Thor's Hammer and his Monday Focus 40 list. So that's new real estate agents we're trying to land and existing agents we already have. Let's see. Someone said
add something on here, Tammy, real quick. I'd like
go ahead.
I'm just, so that I don't lose sight of it, I just want to just stress the importance of, like, what you are doing, your non-negotiables in your schedule, and you are building relationships with people, whether it's your referral partners, your team, your coworkers, is when you let them know what those non-negotiables are. For example, if I were, you know, building my referral partners, I might say, hey, just so that you're aware, you know, at 7:30 in the morning, I take my children to school. It's very important for me to be a part of that. If you're trying to get a hold of me, then you probably won't. I will get to you as soon as I can. So whether it's a personal thing or a business thing with your team, when you say, hey, 9 to 11, somebody put on here 9 to 11, Monday through Thursday, they're doing outbound calls only. Let your people know that that's what you're doing, because that's called communication. And when they know that, guess what? They get excited about, hey, I cannot believe that they're actually doing this. Maybe I should do that a little bit. I wonder how that's going to change my world. And they're going to respect that a lot more.
Agreed. Agreed. Our team, guys, can be our biggest asset, not just in doing their job. So we want to hire unicorns, right? To make sure that they're experienced and that they can do the job, but they can also be our biggest cheerleader and encourage us. And they can be our accountability partners as well. And they can be that catalyst that push us when I look across the table and I see my darling little, Shelly over here, and I'm like, I'm responsible for Shelly feeding her little girl. I'm responsible for this single mother being able to house her three children. I'm responsible for that. So our team, and being able to rely on our team and having them help us, and saying to them, guys, I'm counting on you to help me do this. We will all have jobs. All have job security if we all pitch in and we all live in our lanes and we all do what we were born to do. I was born to sell. I was born to bring in the business, but I can't do that if I'm answering questions. I can't do that if I'm putting out fires. I can't do that if I'm collecting conditions. I can't do that if I'm whatever that is. So I'm counting on you guys to do that. Now, I know that I will have to answer questions. So this is a great question for you, Paul, since you live in this every single day. When you were, I know it's different for you now, but let's think back a little bit of time. When you did have to get involved a little bit, did you do it by schedule as well? Did you help use your calendar to help? Hey, I'm going to answer questions for you from 11 to 12 and from 4 to 5. How did you handle when you did have to get involved?
Yeah, so I was the ultimate firefighter for the team, right? So it was I was bombarded by loan officers and my loan partners with questions. So what I ended up doing was scheduling 1 hour a day that I would have open for questions, open for firefighting. And we also implemented the questions that they needed to answer before they came to me.
I love and that. So remind everyone of what those questions are.
You want me to remember those? So it's what's the problem? What's the issue?
Yes.
What have you already done to try and resolve the issue?
Yes.
What do you think would resolve it? And then agreeing on a path and who's going to do it.
Yes. Okay. So this is called our problem solving formula, guys. Problem solving formula. What's the problem? What have you done? What happened when you did that? What was the result of that? What's your new question? And what do you think we ought to do? So that last question is the most important question, guys. What do you think we should do? This will train your team to be resourceful. Okay. So they have to come to you with some kind of solution, even if it's wrong. We're training them to be resourceful and have already tried something. It didn't work well. Here's the next step. This is what I think we ought to do. We just don't want them spinning their wheels all day. Nope, that's wrong too. Nope, that's wrong too. Nope. So we want to give them a little bit of direction, but we do want them to have tried one time, given it a good old college try, and come to us with the second solution that they think ought to do it. And then we can point them in the right direction from there. Here's the big thing for me. And I don't know if you did this or not, Paul, but when I answer a question for someone, they better damn well write it down and put it in a notebook somewhere so they don't ask me the same question twice. Once is great training, great leadership on my part, great management, whatever you want to call it. I will teach you what you need to do, but I'm only going to do it one time. And you need to take the initiative to write it down and learn it so that it doesn't happen again. If we need to add something into our checklist so that, oh, wow, that was a, I don't care if my team make mistakes. I really don't. We've had some whoppers happen in our office. I don't care if we make mistakes as long as we learn from them. And we
know. And what it really allowed people to do, it allowed me to do, it's a lot of others that I coach and others on my team, is it allows you to get in and out of a problem quickly so that it doesn't destroy your day. Like who in here is, like it, you have a problem and now you linger on it all day long and maybe tomorrow too, and maybe the next day. And now you've let one problem ruin 2 days that you didn't do your 80-20. And so having a problem resolution process, and then what we took it one step further, Tammy, and we have a form now, a loan crisis, you know, loan resolution form, and it's who's on point to resolve it. And how many updates per day are being given to the agent, the loan officer, and anybody else? And it's written. And now I can just say, great, it's done. And update me at 4 p.m. or update me, you know, if it needs to be. And then mentally, I'm out of it. Mentally, I can be.
I love that. Teresa, make a note of that. I might have Paul teach a class on that for us. I think that's a great idea. I love it. So we got a couple questions, guys. We're almost at the top of the hour. So Kevin Newton, this is a great question. He's like, I've been calling my database and I'm calling my agents, and I'm finding that a lot of my agents aren't doing anything right now. I'm finding that the people who used to do 8 buy sides or more are hardly doing anything right now, and it's a waste of time to call them. So what do you think I should do? I think you should reevaluate your list. And Carl and I did a class not too long that says hunker down or double down. It's double down. Double down is the answer. So you may have been able to, back in the day, call 20 agents and get 10 loans in the door. You may have to call 30 now to get those 10 loans in the door. So the question is, what are you willing to do to get the results you're looking for? Here's my thing, guys, is this is not going to last forever. I don't have a crystal ball. I can't tell you how long it's going to last, but it's not going to last forever. But the people who do the right activities right now are going to win. They're the ones who are going to come out on top. So they're the ones who we can do by a show of hands. Who was here in 2008? Yeah, all the people raising their hands. That's because you did the right activities. Despite all the shit we were going through, you did the right activities and you're here today to tell about it, okay? We need to do the same thing. You guys have weathered the storm before. You're gonna do it again. But now we need to get some focused activity on, and that's what this class was about to do. Get your 80-20 done. Know exactly what your 20% is. I know if I did this activity or this two activities, no more than that, guys. If I did this one or two activities and I could do it for 20 hours a week, 20 hours a week, game changer. Now, what's preventing me from spending that 20 hours without working more hours? That's the caveat here. You're not allowed to work more hours. Hey, I'm working 40. I'll just do those 20 hours and I'll work 60. No, you're not working any more hours. The key is, what do I need to take off my plate? Otherwise, you'll end up in what we call burnout. So burnout is working a whole lot of hours doing things you don't like doing. So stop that. I hope I answered that question for you, Kevin. We've got a couple more things on there. Great, Paul wrote in there. So guys, the chat box is a plethora of information, but once we can sign out of this class, bye, gone. So go in there, snag a few things, have a little Word doc open that you can just copy some things in there. So Maria wrote it as well. Paul wrote it in there. We've also got it up on a class. Jeff Wilmoth. Yeah, they asked in, I'm just trying to make sure that we get the question in here. I think we've got most of them. Okay, COI on our form stood for the cost of inaction. So if you just sit there and do nothing, there's a cost for that, guys. You may think there's not, there is a cost for doing nothing. So don't do that. How do you know what's the most important of all the calls? It varies from person to person, Dawn, on results. So if you are just getting started, let's say in this business, and you don't have a database, you don't have a pipeline going, and you don't have a whole bunch of people out pre-approved and looking that you can call a whole lot, your number one activity is making referral partner calls, mostly to real estate agents. And then you can supplement with builders, CPAs, financial planners, attorneys, et cetera, but mostly to real estate agents. They're the ones who can send you the most business. So that would be the best use of your time. If you've got, say, that database of 3,000 that we talked about, the best use of your time is getting through that list and calling your past database, because not refis, everyone says, no, refis are over with. They're not. There's still some people who need to be refied, but you can also get referrals for them selling their home, buying a new home, getting a second home, getting an investment home, their next door neighbor, their friend at work or whatever. There's a lot of people that they know that may know people. So your database is gold, guys. So we need to call that. So great class today. I hope that was helpful. This will be, it has been recorded. It'll be up on our website later today, as will all of the classes that we referenced and all the forms that we went through today. They'll all be in one nice little tight bow for you, so you can access them all at one time. I appreciate guys taking your Thursday out. Julie, thank you. I was a little bit of a motor mouth today, so you didn't get to share as much as I wanted you to.
It's okay.
We'll have you on another class. Paul, I want you on a class as well to teach that thing that you're doing. I love that idea. That's a great idea. And so thanks guys for being here. Happy Thursday. And we will see you guys in 2 weeks. Bye.